Yo, happy Thursday. And it is Rumor and Innuendo Thursday, as usual, and we're live. Live on ad-free shows, live on Rumor and Innuendo, live on my Twitter, live on Rumor and Innuendo Twitter, SC Scoops Twitter, Podcast Heat Twitter. And hey, it's a special episode today because I am here with, not Robert Karpolis, W_creative-ish. I already screwed that up. But I'm here with my degenerate brother, Mr. Marcus D'Angelo. Marcus, welcome to Rumor and Innuendo. Wow, what a reunited, and it feels so good.
You know, I thought my days of having to podcast with you were in my past, but here it is, man. It's like the mob. I think I'm out. You pull me back in. Dom, you can't f up my name. It's right there on the screen.
Can't swear.
Oh, no swearing. All right. Bad, you told me that ahead of time. Right. We're starting out on the wrong foot. No more cursing. Wait, who has to edit this? If I do curse, does that mean that you have to edit stuff?
Yeah, please do not do that because you're doing a disservice to Robert as well.
All right, I'll keep it in check.
Yes. I thought you knew already. Well, wow, what a start, let's just say. We got plenty to cover here today on Rumor and Innuendo. And what a way to start. It's funny, Marcus and I used to do a show on WrestleZone called Two Dynamite Dudes on a Rampage, it used to be called. And we would review AEW, strictly AEW, and lo and behold, it's a Thursday. So guess what we're going to do? We're reviewing AEW. And it was quite the show from Quebec City, Canada, as a matter of fact. And we had the headline match of Shibata taking on Swerve Strickland. But the show opened with Will Ospreay taking on... Oh, yeah. No, I'm sorry. Will Ospreay... My gosh, I'm already screwing up. Swerve Strickland taking on Tekshida... Takeshita.
Boy, Dom, you're messing this whole thing up right out of the gate.
Screwing up big time. Here it is, though. We got Will Ospreay opening with Shibata. That's what happened. And Marcus, what did you think of this opening match and the vibe that Will Ospreay has been given off? Yeah, it wasn't on there when we were doing our show. So what do you think of Will Ospreay?
Man, what a crazy, awesome athlete. Like, I don't know that there's ever been a better athlete in wrestling. He reminds me of Kenny Omega, but possibly a little bit better as an athlete, which is high praise because Kenny's a phenomenal athlete too. But man, it was a really fun, exciting match. I love like the mat work stuff that they did, which was something I was really not expecting. I just figured it was going to be a lot of really fast paced, high flying stuff. But man, some of like the mat work and technical wrestling stuff was a blast. You know, I talked to you about it beforehand. The only thing that I think was missing was a little more selling. And look, you know, I work with the guys from the golden age of wrestling. So that's like the big emphasis on all those podcasts is selling, is what draws fans. You've got to sell every single match. The match doesn't mean anything if you don't sell. And so now I'm like watching for it all the time. And I'm like, boy, these guys are really blasting each other in the face with knees and feet and stuff. And nobody's selling it. So yeah, it's a small thing, but I think the nuances count.
Yeah, absolutely. They do. And, you know, I think though, from what it was, yeah, I was telling Robert yesterday, I was like, the card that they have lined up for Dynamite, it's going to be all this fast paced stuff. You're not going to get these moments of like storytelling or almost time of like tune in, like almost like a Cody Rhodes kind of match vibe that AEW used to have. But they kind of had it in this one. It was slower paced and there was some methodical aspects to it. But yeah, I mean, that's always going to be something I think is the selling aspect that doesn't get really much much attention paid to nowadays. So, but yeah, it was a great, I was pretty shocked that it opened the match. I opened the show. I thought that was going to be the show closer, but it ended up being Swerve Strickland taking on Takeshita. Thank you, Lou 4237, for helping me with the pronunciation. My goodness. Well, yeah, I should give some shout outs here. Christopher Santos says, good morning and happy wrestling to you all. Let's do this. Joseph Wade Walters, morning bros. No, Robert, time to sunset this fraud of a Rumor podcast. We are gonna get to that. You just wait and see there.
I'm enjoying the vibe from everybody in here so far. Somebody asked, where's Tony D? The other D'Angelo.
Hey, Tony, we're going to get to you too at some point. But listen, overall, this Dynamite was pretty well orchestrated. I got to see the Young Bucks and Private Party very much harken back to their old match in 2019. And that was a really well done bout too. I think, you know, there is the aspect, I think overall the show kind of missed the furthering of stories, it felt like it. I think there was an absence of that where it was just like, hey, this match is going to happen coming up and you don't really need a story for Bryan Danielson versus Will Ospreay, or you don't need too much. You have some build to Samoa Joe and Swerve Strickland, but there's not a lot of like storyline stuff that you can really could really bite into, I felt, on this episode of Dynamite.
Well, I will say the storyline of the Young Bucks as part-time magicians is really working for me. Look at how they're dressed. don't they look like somebody at like your kid's birthday party? Crack me up.
Do you think it fits? Is it good for the? Is it good or is it? Is it like you need to? What are you doing here? Is that what that is for?
Yeah, I'm not crazy about that look. I like their gear. I thought their cool, flashy gear was fun. Worked for them when they were heels or baby faces. Like to me, that's the way to go. But yeah, it's as soon as I saw them, I was like, oh, they're magicians now. That's fun.
Ooh, how about that? What do you think about Swerve and Samoa Joe? What do you and Swerve and Shibata, which was a very good match too. God, I did Takeshita. Jeez.
Oh my God, you're a mess today. I almost cursed again. I gotta watch myself.
The curse word threw me off. I'm blaming.
I think I messed you up right out of the gate. man, it was great. And really, what stuck out to me more than anything is just Swerve, man. Like, I don't know what the X factor is. I think it's one of those things that you really can't describe in somebody, but whatever it is, he has it. Man, if I were Tony Khan, I think I would be making this guy my champion here soon.
Well, who does he remind you of? Like, I want to get your unbiased.
Nobody. That's kind of what I like about him is like he's a very individual character, very unique. Love his ring style, love his look, love his connection with the audience. Off the top of my head, nobody sticks out as somebody that he reminds me of. I think he's really unique, and I think that's exactly what you want.
My goodness, Marcus, that's the highest kind of praise you can give to a wrestler, I think.
Well, I'm sure he's listening right now, and you're welcome, sir.
Friend of the show, Swerve Strickland. But yeah, overall there was also the thing. What do you think about the aspect that Jericho is quote unquote mentoring Hook? That's like a new kind of aspect of it going on. Do you think that's a good move? We certainly have some thoughts about Jericho on Rumored Innuendo. But I want to get your take coming in here blind about it.
I think that a lot of fans are gonna look at this from outside looking in and kind of say, like, there's Jerry, there's classic Jericho, like hooking his wagon to somebody who's hooking, if you will, hitching his wagon to a rising star, like, oh, just classic Jericho. Well, look, it's okay. You can take that stance. I kind of take the stance of imagine being Hook and this legendary wrestler is like, hey, I'm going to publicly endorse you. Yep, that's let's do that. You know, so no, I'm happy for Hook. I think it's a good spot for him. And regardless of how you feel about Jericho, he's a major star in pro wrestling. So anytime he's kind of giving somebody the rub, it's a good thing.
Do you think it's the residual effect, though, of like Jericho kind of having that kind of heat with him right now when it comes to some fan perspective? Do you think it is kind of like downplays Hook a little bit in certain ways? Or how do you kind of feel about that when it comes to?
It depends on the approach, you know, obviously. As most wrestling storylines that start like this will, eventually they're going to turn against each other, which will lead to another match. But if you handle it properly, I think it's nothing but a good thing for Hook. It's going to get some exposure on him. And especially if he goes over in this next match that they have down the road, it's, man, what a way to position a young guy.
It seems like long-term a long-term program that they're going to be doing moving forward here. Yeah. Let me see if there's anything else I wanted to touch upon when it came to Dynamite. Yeah, just an overall, I want to get your perspective of Mercedes Moné joining AEW. She was on commentary for the four-way match between Chris Statlander, Sky Blue, Willow Nightingale, Anna Jay. Willow ended up winning. They have a history together from their Japan match. But yeah, what do you think of the, impact of Mercedes Moné in AEW?
I mean, a high profile star, no doubt about that. You know, she's done a lot both in wrestling and outside of wrestling. So like, look, anytime you can get somebody like that on your TV, it's a great thing. However, as you and I used to discuss on the old Two Dynamite Dudes episodes, you've only got so many quarter hours. And the more talent you add, the fewer spaces you have to feature them on TV. So now it's a matter of figuring out how all the puzzle pieces fit. You know, if you've got a roster full of nothing but these big name stars, which AEW does, who's going to go over who and when? And are you going to start bringing in enhancement matches? If you do, that means that people are going to be missing weeks of TV. So it's like, you add too many big names to the roster, it's a great thing, but you also kind of create a little bit of a mess for yourself.
Yeah, it's a difficult thing. And I think it's something we really echoed on too, Dynamite Dudes, was hone in on your certain stars, make them feel bigger. And the upsetting thing is, like, Tony's had plenty of opportunities to do that and hasn't really done that. Like, when it comes to, you think about Bryan Danielson, like, when he came in, it was a huge deal, major deal. And, like, even now, he's still a big star, but it's just like, wow, it's just like, for the focus not to be constantly on him or constantly be on some rising stars, too, where, you know, Wardlow and things like that, where they stopped and pushed and pulled and all that malarkey. It's just like, you want to see this happen with guys like Takeshita and Will Ospreay and Swerve and MJF. Make them your focus, make them the primary aspects, and then you have these legacy stars like a Samoa Joe, or even, yeah, like, if he, I think Absence will make the heart grow fonder with Chris Jericho, but, like, you just, like, you have those names there to kind of blend in there with them, you know? So, yeah, it's something that's ongoing. I wanted, before we move on, I wanted to get your thoughts. Hey, you know, I don't know how I got this scoop, but Jake the Snake, he resigned with AEW. Well, I want to get your thoughts, being his co-host and all. What do you think about Jake resigning?
Boy, how in the world did you get that exclusive, Dominic?
No idea. I am a journalist and reporter. So I just have the investigation nose, if you will. I figured it out, man.
Well, let me say, it's, you know, of course, I think a lot of people are going to hear this and say, like, well, he's biased because he's, you know, Jake's friend, podcast partner. And maybe to a degree I am. However, when you have a guy like Jake the Snake Roberts on your product, it enhances it no matter what. Anytime he's on TV, he gets a big reaction. Anytime he's got a mic in his hand, he nails it. He's one of those guys that no matter how you use him, he's going to add value to your product. Here's the other really, you know, the layup factor of bringing Jake in for another year, hopefully multiple more years, is you've got marketing. Action figures, the AEW Together outreach stuff that they do that Jake participates in, t-shirts, you know, there's just video games. There's so many angles that you could take with a guy like Jake the Snake Roberts and his intellectual property. The man, to me, not signing him would have been just a massive blunder. So I'm really glad to see that Jake is back with AEW and looking forward to seeing how they use him.
How would you want them to use him?
Jake actually said it on the podcast, and something I wholeheartedly agree with. I would love to see him get another Snake Pit segment and interview people, because look, Jake Roberts interviewing these stars, it's, again, it's high tide raises all ships. I think that Jake is going to make everybody that comes on there shine, and they're going to be better for having had a conversation with Jake.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great point. I mean, like, Jake adds that presence, adds and knows how to talk, obviously. You want that more conveyed a little bit more too on AEW. So
here's what last thing. The other way I'd love to see them use Jake is booking. Jake booked, a lot of people forget, Jake booked in Georgia. He booked in Mid-South and he booked in the WWF. Jake is a genius wrestling mind. And if that guy has a creative idea for you, you might want to close your mouth and listen to what he has to say.
Hey guys, if you want to get a little more creative in the bedroom, I got to say, this episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. Let's talk about sex. Guys, remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get the extra confidence in bed. Listen up, BlueChew.com. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra, Cialis, and Levitra, but in chewable tablets at a fraction of the cost. You can take them anytime, day or night, so you can plan ahead or be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Like a snake, Marcus. Like a snake.
Like a snake.
Like a snake. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive the prescription within days. The best part? It's all done online, so no visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA and prepared and shipped direct to your door in a discreet package. Ooh, discreet. Does it work? Don't think you need it? Try it free for a month and see. You're going to love it. Blue Chew wants to help you have better sex. Discover your options at bluechew.com. Chew it and do it. And we've got a special deal for our listeners at Rumor and Innuendo. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code Rumor at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's bluechew.com, promo code Rumor, to receive your first month free. Visit bluechew.com for more details and important safety information. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast.
Ooh, boy. Fellas, get that critter so hard you could go hunting with it, pal. You gotta use it. Bluechew.com.
Bluechew.com, promo code Rumor. Hey, not a rumor here, Marcus. Geez, I almost called you Robert. Not a rumor here, but Strictly Business has come to an end on ad-free shows. Eric Bischoff and John Alba, they did a fantastic job for 2 years. Had a great show going on there. But John Alba made the announcement yesterday, last night, that the show was ending. And who replied but AEW president Tony Khan. And it really took social media off to the races here this morning and last, or early this morning, as Tony Khan tweeted about this at 4 a.m., mind you. But he said, sunsetting this fraud of a business podcast before next AEW media deal is a wise choice. And then Eric Bischoff responded later this morning. And then Conrad Thompson, the owner of Ad Free Shows, if you will, he happened to mention too, hey, just so you know, the sun is not setting on 83 weeks and there's going to be more to talk about on Monday. But then Bischoff responded with a video of Quebec City's, I can't remember the name of the arena there, but a very tarped off arena there that had empty seats for Dynamite tapings. But Bischoff responded, a money mark with no talent other than spending daddy's money, going all the way to Canada to draw less than 4K in one of the hottest pro wrestling markets in North America. Talking about wise choices, strap in. It's going to be a fun day. Marcus, wow. I've interacted with Tony Khan. We both know Eric Bischoff. Pretty wild stuff. I mean, this feud has been ongoing for quite a while. But, geez, want to get your perspective on all this, us being in the podcast world.
Yeah, it's, I mean, first and foremost, you know, sad to see any podcast go, because, you know, not only is our listeners losing out on content, but also it represents income for guys like John Alba and Eric Bischoff. So it's for something like that to go away, it's like, man, I hate to see it. And, you know, Tony Khan commenting on it, it's at this point, if we're surprised, you know, that's kind of on us. You know, it's, I think that Tony could really benefit from having somebody manage his social media and kind of like filter through, like, you know, where he texts that person and says like, hey, I want you to put this out there. And the person goes, hey, love the idea, but what if we pare it down a little bit? So I think that Tony would really benefit from that. Eric taking a shot back at him. Again, I don't think any of us are really going to be surprised by that. Eric is never one to shy away from sticking up for himself. So, the whole thing, it seems like a bit of a mess. I don't know. You know, if it's me, I'm probably just laying out of stuff like this if people are commenting on my stuff. But, you know, it is what it is, Dom.
It just shows, like, you know, yeah, kind of, I'm more with you where it's just like, hey, Tony Khan needs somebody to kind of, like, filter his social media and stuff like that. And I get, you know, you're the boss and you say what you want and that kind of thing. But I think the aspect is too, is like, yeah, Bischoff's a harsh critic when it comes to AEW, but he gives some pretty good advice too, if you filter through that stuff. And on top of it too, it's just like he stated before that Eric immediately had a bone of contention with Tony Khan when he disparaged Ted Turner, when he made comments about Ted Turner. And, you know, then the product got there. And like, so it's kind of unfortunate that these two guys, these two minds are at odds, where if they work together, it would be boom. What kind of good business that would be too, even though Eric has no desire to do that stuff, but still kind of just a wild situation. Yeah. It's like the Strictly Business was a very, very good show. John Alba and Eric both did a great job on there. So it is sad to see it go. And, you know, both guys will, you know, find new ventures for sure. No doubt about it.
Yeah, I think that Eric's, you know, he's all in on 83 weeks. And I know that they're starting to bring a lot of that content over to 83 weeks, where they're talking business on there a little bit more often. So Eric is going to come out fine. John, talented guy. He's going to do great. That's awesome. And I think you made a really good point, Dominic. And that's the, you know, Eric Bischoff, he's like that football coach who would just like absolutely trash you. But in between all of it, he's also got some really good knowledge. And that's what I think you've got to kind of take the good with the bad and say like, hey, I don't really like the way that he said that. However, he does make a good point. Maybe that's something I need to think about.
Constructive criticism is always good. And I think Tony Khan really needs to lean into that a little bit more when it comes to things, not take things so personally when it comes to some aspects, because there's a lot of sound minds out there that are giving him really, really solid advice. But I think the aspect of them being blunt and direct about it kind of pushes him back a little bit where he doesn't like that. So, I mean, I think he's got to find that balance of understanding where constructive criticism is and when just the Twitter trolls are out, you know?
Right. And Tony loves what he does. This is a passion project times a million for Tony Khan. So like, I'm sure that when somebody's, you know, making fun of your baby, you're going to lash out and you're going to be frustrated. But if you can just separate yourself a little bit, maybe filter some of your comments through a social media guy, I think that you're going to have a lot more luck getting your point across.
Hey, well, I hate to jump to another topic, but we got to move quick. Or maybe somebody says maybe we should pick up the speed, because WWE Speed has been announced, Marcus, the Speed Championship, as they will air exclusively on Twitter. And it's 3-minute time limit matches, and it will be a tournament that starts April 3rd. And there will be a title, the WWE Speed Championship. What do you think of this, Marcus? Do you think it's a good move on WWE's part? And what do you think of just having a 3-minute title?
I like the idea of a 3-minute title. It reminds me of the old days with like the TV title, where it's like, you know, the champion doesn't have to get beat. The champion doesn't have to win. He just has to last whatever the 10-minute time limit of the TV championship. And so I think that that could be something fun that they could play with, where you've got like a heel champion who's just trying to avoid the guy for 3 minutes, and that would just get heat on the heel. And I think it's just smart. You know, that being said, there's on the other side of the argument is you're introducing another title, and it's okay. How many titles are we up to now? Because the more you add, the less they mean, any of them. I think that it all depends on how you handle it, obviously. So, you know, this is going to be an X exclusive, and it's going to be featured a little bit more, it sounds like. So that's a great thing. But still, it's, you know, this is a title, and it's something that people are supposed to be vying for. Why do you want the 3-minute title? Let's build it up and make it something special, not just like, okay, well, it's what you're just the best at wrestling inside of 3 minutes all the time. Like, that's all it means right now. You know what I mean?
But that's so, not a bad thing, I don't think. It's kind of like a neat added kind of element to it, you know?
No, it's a cool element, but it's like, okay, what is it? Does this mean that this guy's good for 3 minutes, but if he gets into a 15-minute match for the world title, he's just going to get smoked or get blown up? You know what I mean? So it's like, let's make sure it means something.
Mm-hmm. Marcus, I agree. I think this is a cool aspect that is good for social media. But on top of it, too, it adds a kind of that television title vibe to it. And on top of it, it's almost like a new cruiserweight title in certain ways. Like, it's just a different kind of take for it.
And that's a great way to put it. Yes.
So, and, you know, you'll have an incentive and a new way to position stars that not are necessarily on NXT or WWE programming. It's a good route, I think, to take for sure.
And it's a good way to cross over for fans who maybe aren't tuning into WWE every week, where you say like, hey, it's here on X where you are anyways, maybe check this match out. And then if you draw people in with a really exciting match, and it sounds like it's going to be have to be exciting and fast paced, then next thing you know, more people are tuning in on Mondays and Fridays.
That's it, man. That's it. Hey, and guys, if you want speed with your meals, you can go and do Factor. Eating better is easy with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to go in just 2 minutes. You have over 35 different options to choose from every week, including Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Also, there are more than 60 add-ons to help you stay fueled up and feeling good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and get after your goals. Two-minute meals, fuel up fast with Factor's restaurant-quality meals that are ready to heat and eat whenever you are. Whenever you are ready. Pancakes, smoothies, and more. Discover a wide variety of easy options for the entire day, like breakfast, midday bites, and more. No prep, no meals, no mess meals. Factor meals are ready to eat, heat, and eat. So there's no prepping, cooking, or cleanup needed. Flexible for your schedule. Get as much as you can out of as little as you need by choosing your meals every week. Plus, you can pause or reschedule deliveries anytime. Factor is the perfect solution if you're looking for fast premium options with no cooking required. Sign up and save. We've done the math. Factor is less expensive than takeout, and every meal is dietitian approved with to be nutritious and delicious. So head to factormeals.com/rumor50 and use code rumor50 to get 50% off. That's code rumor50 at factormeals.com/rumor50 to get 50% off. Marcus, you and I both have had Factor before, and it's great stuff. I love it, man.
Dude, I love Factor Meals. I love the convenience, man. Especially, I've got two kids here, busy night. You pop one of those dudes in the microwave for 2 minutes, bam, you got a meal. No cleanup. You just throw the container in the trash afterwards. Done. Love Factor Meals. Can't endorse it strongly enough.
Ready and raring to go. Rumor 50 at factormeals.com. All right. Marcus, a lot of other stuff happening on too. We got Becky Lynch revealed that her contract is running out, expiring in 2 months' time. Speaking with Ariel Helwani on the MMA Hour, she disclosed that she's in the last 2 months of her existing contract with WWE. She mentioned that discussions regarding a contract extension have yet to commence. The Lynch largely evaded Helwani's inquiry about her contract. She expressed skepticism that would be her final WrestleMania. She said, at this stage in the game, contrary to a lot of the thoughts of, in this book of where I was coming up, I'm so confident in my ability and my worth, I'm not worried. Marcus, it kind of just seems like this is going to be a done deal, like that she's going to sign with WWE. I mean, you can't lose a star like Becky Lynch, and there's so much value in that. And it's kind of almost on the same lines. It almost makes you think about Drew McIntyre. He's not signed yet either. Is this kind of a new play by WWE to kind of be like, hey, let's blur the lines here and make people think, you know, we're not, what's going to happen to the future of these people?
I think it's more of a play on Becky Lynch's part, you know, and it was masterfully done. Not only did she plug her book in there as she was doing that description, but she also is, you know, she's at the negotiating table as we speak. She might not have sat down and had any actual discussions, but negotiations are happening right this moment. Every time she does an interview or talks about it, even lightly, it's, man, she's positioning herself, and good for her. She should be. And I hope she gets all the money, whether it's from WWE or AEW. She's a deserving star.
Would you put her in your top five women wrestlers today?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, would you? Beyond a doubt.
And it's cool. Like we talked about Mercedes Moné getting paid yesterday on the show. And it's cool to have that leverage. Leverage is great for wrestlers. It's great for the business.
Yes, really, absolutely. So is competition. Great for everybody. Man, if you're in WWE, you're hoping that AEW has success and vice versa. You should want the other people to have success because it's just you keep leveling up.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely. Hey, we'll close it out with this here. The news from PW Torch, Wade Keller, who I'm very familiar with, happened to talk about CM Punk and Seth Rollins' backstage relationship. By all accounts, while Seth harbored legitimate gripes with Punk, the two are getting along backstage when planning their segments. Punk continues to get all positive reviews from many sources regarding how he's carrying himself amongst colleagues and management. You know, yeah, we've heard about this since Punk returned to WWE. He's been very a positive influence backstage and, you know, very outgoing and helpful and things like that. And, you know, it's kind of nice to see two guys getting along that had tension with one another and just being professionals.
Yeah, you know, I think that Punk is probably starting to see that, like, okay, if I don't adjust my behavior at times, there's going to be a perception about me that I'm just tough to deal with. No matter the circumstance, I'm a difficult personality to deal with. And so he's going from essentially an independently owned company to a publicly owned company. So it's corporate America versus private. So now he's, you know, it's there's a different vibe and a different flavor and a different amount of money and opportunities on the line. So I think he would be foolish to do anything other than just say, hey, I'm going to be nice to everybody and let's play ball.
Yeah, man, it's very nice to see, you know, and I think the blurring of the lines when it comes to like some of like, you know, Punk's legitimate injury and being on air with Seth and Drew, like Drew's just been on a whole nother level of a top heel in the business right now. It's been really great to see. So everybody working cohesively is pretty cool. And WWE's just on another level right now. It's been good stuff. And I think Punk's a fun part of that moving forward.
So, you know, this era of WWE has been about as close as we've gotten for a long time to the red hot days of WWE. Obviously, from a financial standpoint, yep, they've been there for a while. But from like a storytelling standpoint, man, WWE's on a roll.
Did you get to see the Rock segment with Cody at the end of Raw?
Sure did.
What'd you think of that?
Dude, it's hard to describe how good that was. You can't really compare it to much, really. Just more than anything, it's just a masterful setup. And again, it's like, it's storytelling the likes of which we haven't seen since, you know, I don't know, the Mega Powers or something like that, where it's like just really a great way to put something together. This has been a year-long build, and man, they're making it feel like a really, really big deal heading into Mania.
Absolutely. We'll talk more about that tomorrow with Marcus again. But Marcus, why don't you tell us all this plates you got spinning over on your side of the Pittsburgh.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. I've been busy, Dom. Oh, gosh, golly. Well, so I have a podcast right here on adfreeshows.com with Jake the Snake Roberts. You can catch it early on Ad Free Shows, but it's available on your podcast app. And especially go and check us out on YouTube, because Jake and I do giveaways. He'll sign like a card from the 80s or something, and we'll just ship it out to somebody. It's a pretty cool system. And, you know, obviously you've got all that cool content over there. So it's youtube.com/@snakepitpod. At the same time, I'm working with two other guys from the golden era of wrestling, Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man, who I'm going to be recording with in about an hour and a half. He and I have got the podcast Everybody's Got a Pod, and boy, Ted is a great natural podcaster. Tomorrow the episode is going to release. He and I talking about it's part two of our talk about Money Inc. And his time with Mike Rotunda. So definitely worth listening to. And on that YouTube channel, YouTube exclusive, is the Hacksaw Hour with Hacksaw Jim Duggan, a bi-monthly podcast. And brother, when I say that Jim is entertaining, he never fails to bring the energy and the fun and the charisma. So again, you can only find that on the Everybody's Got a Pod YouTube channel. It's youtube.com/@Everybody's Got a Pod. And I'm a wrestler, Dom. There's that too.
Yeah. We'll talk a little bit more about that too. We'll talk about more of that tomorrow. You mean bi-weekly too for Hacksaw Hour.
What did I say?
You said bi-monthly.
So oh, okay. Yeah. Bi-weekly.
Bi-weekly there. So yeah, Marcus, we'll cover more of that tomorrow. Guys, you like what you're seeing from me and my degenerate reading and bad pronunciation? You can see more of that at One of a Kind with RVD. Go to rvdtv.com. And hey, we got Rob Van Dam, obviously there, the big name. And just go to rvdtv.com, hit subscribe, check out the new episode. We're recording tonight. We might have a special guest. We're going live on his YouTube too. So tonight, take a look. Keep your eyes peeled for Rob and me. And then also go to Gagne and Magnum.com for Straight Talk with the Boss, Magnum TA and Greg Gagne. This week we cover Wahoo McDaniel. Man, what a legend he is. A lot of fun. And so go to Gagne and Magnum.com. Check that out. Subscribe, like, share, all that stuff. But yes, you can check us out, Rumor and Innuendo, on the Ad Free Shows YouTube, on Rumor and Innuendo YouTube, on Rumor and Innuendo X, on my X, at Dominic D'Angelo, at Podcast Heats X, and at WE Creative _ish X. Not on Marcus's X, but SE Scoops' X too. Cool. Marcus, wow, what a reunited. Like I said, it feels so good. We'll do it tomorrow. Hey, and you know what, Marcus? Good luck in your future endeavors.